when we consider wisdom, and of course, talking about that on this morning, kind of really wanted to discuss some ways on how the wisdom of God balances out the world that we live in. And what I mean by that is we know that the world has different ways of looking at things, the philosophies, the ideas. Men lean to their own understanding, and they try to impose that will upon on everyone, on each other, and sometimes even us as the people of God. And so there's a way to counter that. And to counter that is wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. And so I want us to consider James chapter 3 again as we were considering on this morning. And I want us to be thinking about, for discussion's sake, how we can balance out the world that we live in. Because if we're not careful, as we see individuals actually trying to make the world imbalance. And one thing we know about God's word, his will, is about balancing everything out. In order for you to have evil, you have to have good. In order for you to have bad, you have to have good. Right, wrong. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And so James chapter 3, and we just kind of glanced at this on this morning, but in verse number 13, there the Bible demonstrates to us, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show. The word show there is very important. I want someone to look up that word show in your blue letter Bible. And let's look at the definition of that particular word show, because it's very important that we understand what that word is, because if we're going to balance out the world that we're in, and when I talk about the world, I'm not talking about the United States of America holistically, but San Angelo or our neighbors, the places where we recreate, people that we come across, if we're going to balance things out, that word show is very important. What's the definition for that word? Yes, sir, Brother Dennis.
Exposed to the eyes.
Say that one more time.
Exposed.
Exposed to the eyes. There should be some more definitions. Say again. Yes, sir. Okay. So you take that definition and you put that in the verse itself. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show, let him demonstrate with evidence. You think about that. Let him demonstrate with evidence by good conduct. How do I know that the wisdom of God abides in my heart? It's demonstrated by good conduct. It's shown. The evidence is seen. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, concerning false teachers, you know them by their what? By their fruit. By their fruit. But here, who is wise in understanding? Who is wise in understanding? The reason why I'm emphasizing that is because when we think about wisdom, you think about understanding, you're putting things together. James is saying the one that's wise in understanding, he's going to demonstrate by the evidence in his life. You'll see it. It's not going to be something that might be there. It will be there. Okay? It will be there. And so let him demonstrate, let him show, let him give evidence, because the evidence is there in his life, by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. So you have this imbalance going on as it relates to the bitterness of the heart, the envying. You got all those things that are from below. And then you counter that with the wisdom from above. And remember, we talked about this morning that it is first pure, then peaceable, willing to yield. I want us to talk about these just for a few minutes. And I want us to consider them from application perspective, because it's very important that if we're going to balance out the world that we live in, the community that we're in, the social circle that we're in, it's going to require these things. What does it mean to be pure? Try not to give me a verse. Try to give me some application. What does it mean to be pure? What does that look like? Say again. holy? I mean, give me some application. All right, what does that look like? What you mean, the way you talk?
Well, we should talk as Christians.
Okay, good. The way we should talk as Christians, right? What way is that?
Of the Bible.
Of the Bible. Clean.
Clean talk.
Clean talk.
Honest. And give honest. Us the idea of clearness, transparency.
Matter of fact.
Matter of fact.
Anyone else?
Clinging to the word.
All right, clinging to the word. What does that look like? I'm going to ask that question. What does that look like? I mean, because you have to be able to apply it, correct? What does that look like, Larry? Cling to the word. What does that look like?
Without impurity.
Without impurity, okay. Leon?
Helping somebody out, let's say helping a family member out, just because you want to do it, just because you love them, not because you want something in return.
All right, good. That's James 1:26. Good. Sir?
Speaking through the word, the Bible speaks. If you're talking about through the word, you're teaching what God teaches through the Bible and nothing more.
Okay. Yes, Sister Frieda.
Untainted.
Untainted. Yes, Dennis. Good, real good. Dennis.
You're talking about the word pure, right?
Yes.
This word pure here is actually two different things. Words that come together. It's very complex. It's actually pretty complex. But think of truly, okay, along with what we think of as pure. This is it's more intensive. I don't know if I'm saying that real well, but it's a more intense word. It's a complex word. You study what this word is in Greek.
Okay. All right. Eric.
Godly.
All right. Godly. Pure. Pure. First pure. God's wisdom is first pure. Peyton, you about to say something? I thought you had to. Every time you move, it seemed like you want to say something. anyone else? So how do you balance that out when someone's not pure? Because really, you're supposed to come with the purity of God's word, his wisdom, his actions, how he demonstrates things, correct? Anyone? First, pure. Matthew 5, verse number 8, Bible says, blessed are the what in heart? The pure in heart. We discussed this on Wednesday, for they shall see God. They shall see God. God's wisdom is first pure. It's first pure, which demonstrates that there's nothing tainted about it. Matter of fact. Why is it sometimes when we're dealing with people who are not pure, we want to try to ease up the purity when we're dealing with them? Sometimes you have to come straight at them. You don't have to be mean. But coming across matter of fact, I've learned this, and I'm not trying to be ugly, especially with young people. I don't know what it is that when you come straight at them, they think you don't like them. Why is that? Let's talk about that for a second. Why is that? Well, why you say that like that? Well, was I mean? Well, no, but it just seemed like you don't like me because you corrected me. Where did we learn that? Yes.
I think it's because when we were younger, it was, if someone came at us, we would get upset, but they didn't have the strength to stand by what they said. And like, or they would fold on it. And so now, like, we think that they're mad at us, and it's like we shouldn't be talked to that way. Like, we have the right to do and say and feel whatever we want to do. And so when they do that, it makes us mad or scared because it's the truth, and we're afraid of that. Our generation.
Excellent point. Anyone want to add to that? Yes, Maya.
I was just going to say, I think for the younger generation, directness is uncomfortable because a lot of the communication tactics that we've grown up with has been very indirect, with social media, texting, platforms like that where you don't really receive direct conflict or interaction, face-to-face interaction. So when somebody is very direct with you, it's taboo. It's uncomfortable. And we're not really taught how to navigate through that.
All right. Leon.
I think people just don't want to be told to do sometimes, but little do they know, you're actually helping them out and not being mean to them.
Are you meaning young people as teens or young adults?
Well, the person I have in mind was in his 20s.
Well, young adults. child. Oh. When I was a child, I couldn't speak back. But now I'm in my 20s, so I got to tell myself. And even though I'm wrong, I got to say something back because it's not making me feel like a child again.
Tobias, that's an excellent point. And truth be told, I've been there. I remember that. But I have been so far removed, I forgot it. And so as the older you get, well, at least you're supposed to, you should become more humble as you get older. Let me say that one more time. The older you get, you should become more humble. But I remember in my 20s, no one could tell me nothing. And when you did, I was upset with you. So that's an excellent point right there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Sister Reed.
Told us, if I'm not correcting you, I'm not teaching you and disciplining you, then I don't care about you. So we learn, well, that goes more along with the Bible teaching.
That's right.
Jesus chastises those who love.
That's right.
So it's just a difference in generations and teaching, maybe.
Which, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm understanding you right, it's a difference in maturity. Because what happens when the older are not mature enough to correct because they're afraid of what the younger might say? I hear that all the time. Well, God's wisdom is first pure. It's going to correct you. But if I try to take away the strength of the correction, you don't get corrected. Now, just because, now, one preacher said this one time, he said, my responsibility is not to change you, it's to expose you. Which means that here's the information. You do whatever you're going to do with it because you're going to have to stand before God yourself anyway. And so correction is very beautiful. For those who love God, they don't mind being corrected. Proverbs 9 verse 8. And so how do we balance out the world around us? Stand with the word of God. Stand with what God's word says. And not trying to butter it up or soften it up. All right, Evelyn.
I just looked at this, and the word pure in James is a different Greek word than the word pure that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 5.
Verse 8.
Like what Dennis was saying, that the word pure in the wisdom in James is more of a matter of a fact.
Indeed.
Fact. Yes, and indeed. This. So, in essence, to me, it's more like it has to be truth. I mean, the fundamental premise before you can go any further has to be truth.
That's right.
It has to be indeed a fact.
That's right.
An affirmed assurity.
That's why personally, now this is just me, that's why personally, I don't mind talking to false teachers where I go when I go places and just kind of get in their face and tell them exactly what God's word says. Now, to the members, I treat them a little differently. Why? I don't mind telling a Baptist preacher, you know, that's falsehood. That's false. If you keep that up, you'll die and go to hell. I sure will. And I'm talking about the preachers because they ought to know better. They should know better. That's how I balance out a false teacher. What if I play with him and act like what he's saying is true, but I know for a fact what he's saying is false? Am I partaking in his evil deed? I believe I am. Yes, sir.
When I was little in World War II, the saying was, torpedoes ahead, straight ahead. And that means, don't look back, keep going.
Hmm.
That was way back when I was little. I was taught that. That was the saying in World War II. Torpedoes ahead, full speed ahead.
You know, Brother Ditmore, I'm pretty sure you'll be dead and gone when I realize some of the things you've said. I'm serious. Because there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, a lot of depth to what he's saying. He can't hear. I said, I'm pretty sure I'll be dead and gone when I realize what you've said sometimes, the depth of it, and because I appreciate it. You know, you stop, you think about what is, all right, torpedo full speed ahead. I mean, okay, don't look back. Or give it to me straight. You know, there's a time which, well, there's always a time to shoot straight. But sometimes we don't take that time to shoot straight. Why is that? If we're going to balance out the world that we're living in, why don't we shoot straight at each other? Yes, sir. And usually those same people that are brutal online are not brutal in faith, in person, huh? Why is that? Anyway, that's another conversation. I'm going to try to leave that alone. All right, so when we're balancing out the world that we're in, we have to come with the truth. We have to believe the truth. We have to know the truth. And so God's word, God's wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, willing to yield. Peaceable, willing to yield. What does it mean, willing to yield? What does that mean? All right. Eric says to stand down. Anyone else? Teachable. That's right. Anyone else? Excellent point. Anyone else? Yes, Brother Tobias.
Would that be the same as meekness? It's like I have the ability to speak my mind, but I don't have to. I have the ability to do wrong, but I choose not to. So yielding to me looks like, well, I could do it. I want to do it. But God's word says no, so I'm not.
Well, when I think about this idea, especially with the word at hand, I'm trying to bring this situation to a peaceful end. And so even when you think about amongst us, we should always be striving to bring hostile situations amongst each other to a peaceful end. God doesn't want hostility in the church. Well, even when we're dealing with those, we have people on the outside that are not getting along with each other. We ought to be the peacemakers. Now, that's a very broad stroke that I just painted, okay? Because truth be told, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, what was he really speaking of? Anybody remember? The gospel. So blessed are the peacemakers, those who bring peace between the sinner and God. Right, that's the true idea. But you can paint a broad stroke there, because truth be told, if anybody ought to be able to help people with the wisdom of God to be able to solve issues, dissolve doubts in their life, it ought to be the people of God who know the word of God. All right, so people ought to be able to come to us and say, hey, what's your ideas? What's your thoughts on this? And this is when you respond like Tobias usually says this. Well, I don't have an answer, but the word of God does. Well, I don't have an answer, but I can take you to the word of God. Dennis, you have your hand up? Anyone? Yes.
So this is more of a question, because mm-hmm. I feel like this is a difficult area for me. The New King James says willing to yield. The King James Version, I believe, says easily entreated. Mm-hmm. And then in the Greek, it gives this idea of compliant. Okay, I don't see myself as compliant. Now, I do see myself as good for persuasion. In other words, if you bring a good argument to me, or if you bring good, a concrete, I'm willing to listen to that. But the word compliant is a little bit difficult for me to understand in this context of wisdom.
What's the definition for compliant? Because I don't see that in the...
That's in the Greek.
I'm looking at the Greek right now.
Well, I was just looking at it too. In the willing to yield.
Mm-hmm.
Easily obeying and compliant.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong word.
Yeah.
Here it is. Okay. So, compliant, the definition is inclined to agree with others or obey rules, especially to an excessive degree. Having the property of compliance. obeying, obliging, or yielding.
It's not yielding to something else. It's yielding to it. It's coming to.
That's right. So truth, wisdom, the wisdom of God doesn't do that. It's not going to comply to you. You have to comply to it. And so when I stand on, unless my understanding is off, when I'm complying with the word of God, then I'm not going to walk away from that in order to suffice you. I'm not going to do that. It's the wisdom of Balaam. We're not going to do stuff like that. Who had their hand up? Yes.
Well, I was just thinking about the word yielding, and I automatically just think about traffic laws and yielding and traffic law. It's literally slowing down your pursuit to allow the pursuit of somebody else to take place before yours in order to cause harmony and peace on the road. And I think of the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. You know, we slow down our pursuits in order to allow the Word of God to take head of ours and follow after it. So when I think of yielding, I just think about slowing down and allowing somebody else or something else to take the right of it.
Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes, Eric.
I was going to say, what I mean by standing up, I mean standing down, you don't need always to stand up, because it's not always good to win an argument or start one, because you're not yielding in the way that you need to just slow down and let them say what they're going to say. But if it's not godly, then that's just something.
Well, there's a couple of different definitions for those who are looking at it. One who is easily obeying. And then there's another definition, which is interesting, good for persuasion, good for persuasion. And so one thing about God's word, his wisdom does persuade. But you think of those of us who are complying to the word of God, we should be in a position that we are easily persuaded by it. Is that right?
That's correct.
Exactly right.
That's
right. Now, brethren, this is my opinion. This Bible study right here. We're studying the Bible. We're studying the Bible tonight. Okay? Because if I'm not easily persuaded by God, how do I have that attitude to take to someone else? If God can't persuade me to his side, how do I persuade others to his side? Now, you can. Now, I know you can. I have a Bible passage that says that you can. Anybody remember it? What did Paul say? He said, I buffet my body lest when I speak to others. Mm-hmm. So it's possible for me to teach others the will of God and the way of God, and me, myself, not be persuaded by God himself. Now, that's a dangerous position to be in. That's not our study for tonight, but it's interesting. Yes, ma'am.
That's why we have to start with our children when they're
young, to teach them. Say that one more time so we can all hear that.
That's why we teach our children from a very young age.
So you're saying we need to bend their will to God's will early? So that means we can't let our children have their way when they're young. Wonder why our world's going crazy. Now, this is where we're talking about balancing the world out. All right, here's a great evangelism question for y'all. You're working with a husband and wife. They have two or three children. Not trying to be ugly, but they're just unruly kids. And they're only 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? Well, I mean, obviously they need to learn how to rear their children in a better way so God can be able to work with them later. You know, children can be to a point where they're not even teachable later. How do you work with that?
Are you talking about we, as those who are trying to help this family or our
How do you do that with the Word of God? Because you can.
Well,
How do you do it?
Yeah, Titus chapter 2.
Titus chapter 2? Okay. Titus 2, 4 and 5? Okay, I can get there with that. Older teaching the younger. All right. What's some other ways? What's some ways? I mean, because the reason why I'm bringing that point up, I think that's an excellent point. We're going to see more of that. Actually, we're seeing a whole bunch of it now. We're seeing a lot of it. And we have some children in the Lord's church, even amongst us, the children are not very well behaved. But if you don't do something about that now, those children are probably not going to do well with God later because, well, their will hasn't been bent. So we see it in the world today. And again, just leaving San Antonio and seeing some of the people that I saw, little ones, they just already just seem like they are hell bound. It's an ugly sight. It is sad. So how do we take the wisdom of God and help people see that the way that you're rearing your children is not the right way? How do you do that? Tobias, you had your hand up. Who was it? Oh. Sister Ditmore? I'm sorry.
They don't respect you.
So how do we get them to respect authority? Yes, ma'am.
Take the television out of the house.
Take the television out of the house, okay. Evelyn and then to Leon.
Well, I would approach this maybe from a question standpoint because I don't have kids at home anymore. And I know and I remember how I did with my children, but they were my children. And I also knew them. Like, I knew my children. I knew what was the best discipline for them or maybe wasn't what the best for them. But when it's somebody else's kids, it would have to take the wisdom of the parents who know their children. And so somehow, how would a parent want to be approached when it came to their children? That's a question I would like to be answered for me in order to know how to help in that situation.
Okay. Leon.
So personally, I used to be very, very awful. In Proverbs 23:13, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. The main problem, I can tell you like straight off the bat, is that the Bible was not in the household. If that would have been in the household, things would have turned out different. That's what's wrong, is that the Bible was not in there. And not only that, is that they need to use it right, not teaching it the wrong way. So as soon as you get the Bible in there and then they start learning what the right thing is to do, then that's really honestly the only way. Because men's wisdom, how you were talking about this morning, that can only go so far. And it's usually not the right way. But the Bible, that's what my stand is on.
Excellent. Excellent way of saying that. Tobias and then... Come here. Tobias.
I would tell the parents, like, your children have to see it. If you haven't been disciplined, you haven't been yielding your will to God. And so you don't want to discipline them because you want to be a friend. You want them to see you as the good guy always. So you're going to have to yield your wants and do what God says. And like Leon said, bring that rod in, bring that discipline in, take the TV, I'll take it. You know, whatever it is you haven't been doing, you got to give up your will. Then when they see you yielding to God's will, at some point, they'll begin to yield to your will, which will ultimately be God's will. It's the umbrella of yielding to Christ, who yields to God, and then the wife yields to the husband, and the children yield to the mother.
That's a great point. Appreciate that. Jamie.
Elias pretty much hit my point, but from a young age, children can sense hypocrisy. I mean, I don't know what the word is, but they can see it. And so whenever they see their parents not respecting God, not honoring God the way God should be honored, it takes away from the way they view God and the way they view their father. Because, I mean, God, a father is the first representation of what God is like. And so if your father is a hypocrite, why should you trust that? And then why should you trust God?
Peyton.
I don't know if this exactly is what you're asking related to evangelism. Rob Whitaker, Boyd, is the reason why you have a meal on a Bible study to apply all hands on deck method for his kids. Their responsibility is taking it. It's a family with kids. Take their kids, pull them away, distract them, so that way the adult can get into a Bible study. And the focus there being, we got to convert them first. We're not trying to deal with every peripheral issue at hand. Get them to obey the gospel. Once they realize they were here with the pain of their salvation, I think they become much more open to correction on child rearing and other issues. A lot of people, you go head on, hey, you can do this with your children. Our culture is such that people start to get a little offensive with their children.
Excellent. Excellent.
Another reason why I'm not a big fan of a lot of youth camps and youth ministers and youth programs is it goes back to the home and the family and the parents before it is the kids.
Excellent point. Maya.
I was just going to say one of the things that I think was valuable for us when we were younger that you guys taught us was authority extended itself outside of just the home and outside of just our parents. We were taught to respect authority from adults, from teachers, from police officers, whatever it was. There was an establishment of authority outside of just you two. And I think that that is not always taught to the younger children of this generation. Your job is to just respect me and my parents, but you don't have to respect anybody else outside of the household. So when they leave the household, someone else tells them what to do. Well, you're not my mom, you're not my dad. But you're still an authority figure. So it gets harder for the village to help raise the child or other spiritual adults to help raise the child when they aren't respected as an authority.
Amen. Good. Luke.
What I'm seeing a problem with is do as I say, not as I do. And, you know, I had a problem with it. I'd get myself into problems. I'd be like, my dad doesn't, you know. So I would do as he does, and then I'd get in trouble.
I thought we had some real good answers tonight. And brethren, this is how we balance out the world we're in. Different answers, all of them applicable, all of them will help. You're in a home, you're talking to someone, things are unruly. There's different ways to deal with these situations. You have to be able to look at the situation, assess the situation, and have enough boldness with the purity of God's word to address it. To address it. And sometimes this is what we do, and I've been there. I don't want to say anything right now because I don't want to offend. But it's in the offense at times where people will make the changes. And we are in a culture now. We've been in it a long time, truth be told, not just now, where we're afraid to offend. God's word offends. I'm reminded in Matthew 19 when Jesus was told by his disciples, do you know that this offended the Pharisees? I could just see Jesus' face. And? Who had their hand up? Olivia.
It goes back to the saying, you know, I'm your parent, not your friend. I grew up with a lot of people, their parents were their friends. And to this day, I can't tell them anything because that's not a very friendly attitude of you. Well, I'm not here to be your friend, I'm here to help you. You can't always do both.
Anyone else? Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is very instructive on how to deal with disorderly behaviors in a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
When someone was walking disorderly, the language the Apostle Paul uses is, we command you in the name of our Lord. Now that's a commandment to the entire congregation to withdraw from that disorderly situation.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at that's 2 Thessalonians 3:6, if you look at verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. If you drop down to verse 12, when he's talking about busybodies and disorderly conduct again, this is again not just children, this is adulthood, you know, disorderly behavior. Verse 12, now those who are such, we command and exhort our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. And then verse 14, and this is what I really want to get at on this point. If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. So the purpose there is to create some shame that we correct the behavior. if the behavior is not corrected by the actual rebuke. Now, two children in a family or situation in the congregation, I think an eldership, a well-structured eldership, by definition, has shepherding responsibilities. But a congregation needs to know these passages too, to help, again, work with people. But there's authority in the scriptures. There's authority right here that we are all under. And we have to, again, behave ourselves orderly. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, to not behave yourself unseemly. And so if I tarry long, thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. It's like raising children. I liked what Ginger said. Take the TV out, but that doesn't happen because the dad normally doesn't want the TV removed. It's going to make his life uncomfortable. So we have to take measures sometimes into account that aren't comfortable measures. But if it corrects the behavior, then none of this is comfortable. But it's got to be done in order to correct the behavior. That's probably why it doesn't get done, but it needs to get done.
So I'm entering to someone's home. This will be the last point I'm going to make here. I'm entering their home. Had a few studies with them, see the situation concerning the family, and now I have to muster up enough strength to say, I believe the Word of God can help you with your children. I believe that the Word of God can help you with your children. You know, we have to have that strength to do that. I believe the Word of God can help you with your marriage. I believe the Word of God can help you. The wisdom of God can do that. It can do that. And brethren, it's not about just sitting down and going through a plan of salvation, things of that nature. You're helping them where they are and taking them where God wants them and their family to go. And that's what God's Word does. I mean, if it helps us and our homes and our families, why wouldn't it help someone who's not a member of the church? It ought to be able to do that. Sister Ditmore, and then Jamie, and then Mary. Sister Ditmore, we're just trying to get people to get married. But you're right. I mean, you're right. But we're trying to get people to. It's sad that even some members of the Lord's church think it's all right to shack up with each other. But that's where we are. Anyway, Jamie, I digress.
Malachi 4:6, and it's prophecy, but it says, "And he shall turn the heart of fathers to the children, heart of the children to their fathers, lest
I
come and smite the
earth with a curse." That's right. Where was that fulfilled? You remember?
Huh?
Where was that fulfilled? It's fulfilled in John the Baptist, in Luke 1:17. That's right. Good. That's a good passage. Yes.
My turn.
Yes.
What you just said a while ago, everything, mm-hmm. maybe address it in matter. I'm not trying to have you do it. Address it in matter. It helped me. You know?
What helped you?
Using that word of God for your children. The word of God, I believe, can actually help you to be able to deal with your children.
Yeah.
It helped me. You know, sometimes when you say it that way, they don't get all offensive because you're in the Bible study the second time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Shut down. I mean, immediately, like Peyton was saying.
Yep.
Because people that don't discipline their kids are going to shut down.
Yep.
When you recommend it. But once you get to know them and you address it how you, you know, the same way you're saying.
Yep.
You could do it easily.
Good. Anyone else before we go on? Eric.
I was going to say, when you're not being the parent and you're trying to be a friend, you're letting your child be of the world. So you don't want to be a friend of the world. You need to be not a friend of letting your children do whatever they want to do, because when they get grown, they're never going to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can't do what they want. They're going to have to treat people wrong and do things that they should have been taught not to do when they get grown, and that's when they're not even to be around, and they probably won't even know how it is to be in the church either.
Okay. Well, the wisdom of God, if you look at the rest of these passages, words in this passage, notice what he says, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without respect of persons, without hypocrisy. Some of these things were said in some of the answers that we gave. The wisdom of God is actually these things given to the individual. And so I'm using God's word in this particular way. And so I'm not picking and choosing what passage or what concept, what idea to use on people. I'm going to use all of God's word. I'm not going to play act with people. I'm not going to, like Luke said, as relates to do what I say, not as I do. It's not that. And so God's word is not hypocritical. Therefore, we should not be. It's not partial. Therefore, we should not be. And so when we're trying to balance out the world, people need to know that we're straight shooters. Why? Because the word of God has made an impression upon us. It has transformed us. Therefore, we're trying to do the same when we go out. Any comments before we go any further? Yes, Tobias.
It's hard to. It's almost. Sometimes it's not that I don't want to tell you the truth because I don't want to offend you. I don't want to tell you the truth because I'm not living. I can't help you correct your home for the word of God, but I'm not finished correcting mine. Still struggling trying to use God's word to correct my home. So. Yeah.
Brother. Royce used that last week talking about the man that said, I'm not going to correct you because I have the plank in my eye. And I think Royce said, I just got tired of that and said, take the plank out. You know, well, I can't remove the speck out of his eye because I have a plank in mine. Well, get it out. So when we stop and we consider how do we balance out the world that is around us, we balance it out by living the word of God out in our own lives. By being honest with God's word in our own life. And so when I think about how we are addressing the world that we're in, wherever we may go, people should see that Christ is living in us. His word takes precedence. But it requires me studying God's word, reading God's word, meditating on God's word, believing God's word, trusting God's word, not just knowing what God's word says, but actually putting it into practice. I trust that. I trust that. And so when people see that, that's when they're going to start coming to us. That's when they're going to want information, ask for wisdom, ask for understanding. It's a beautiful thing when you are known as a person that has biblical understanding and you practice it. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do I know that I believe what God says? How do I know that? Say again?
Through his faith. I mean, through your faith in his word.
Through your. What evidence? Huh?
Evidence of the Bible.
All right. She says evidence of God's word. What did you say, Evelyn?
Evidence of my lifestyle.
The evidence of my lifestyle. So when God's word and my life are like this, then James 3:13 is real. James 3:13 is real when God's word and my life are like this. And you can go out with confidence. Not arrogance, just confidence. Seeing, matter of fact, let me use this passage real quick. Go to Titus 3. Titus 3, start at verse 3. Titus 3, verse 3. Instead of me giving an illustration, I'm just giving it straight from the Bible. And I love that Paul does this. Verse 3, Paul says, now notice how Paul puts himself in the equation. He didn't say, for you yourselves were also once foolish. Right. What did he say? He put himself in the equation. I love that about Paul, the humility of Paul. He believed in God's word, and he said at one time, I was in this category too. Brethren, it's a beautiful thing when people can see you like they see themselves. But look at verse 4. But, he's going to go the other way now. When the kindness and the love of God, our, he puts himself in the equation there, Savior toward man appeared not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, saved who? Us. Paul put himself in the equation. And so when I consider the wisdom of God and how we should be helping to balance the world out, this is why we have to be amongst the people. It's not enough. I tell young preachers this all the time. It's not enough for you to sit in your office. You ought to have a set amount of time that you're out there with them sinners. Got to be out there with sinners. How do you balance the world out if you're not amongst them? I love ribeyes. Anytime you want to cook one, call me over. Just call me over, okay? But I like seasoned ribeyes. If it's bland, I'll eat it. And I'll be thankful and say prayer. I sure will. But man, if you could put a little seasoning on there, some Dale's sauce on there, but I'm telling you, man, we're good. Aren't we supposed to be the wisdom of God to the world? The answer is yes. If we're not spending time with sinners, then what are we doing? That's a question. What are we doing if we're not spending time with sinners? Well, let me ask this question. Should we spend time with sinners? Right? I hear Jesus did. I see a yes. So if we're supposed to spend time with sinners, are we? How do we balance out a world if we're not around them? That's a question.
You don't.
Yes, we work around them. Well, I need to go there and get my work done. That's true to a certain degree. But they have souls that need to be saved too. When they say certain things, do certain things, have certain lifestyles, brag about things that they shouldn't be bragging about, that's when we come in and say, I don't think that's good. You know, God's word has something to say about that. There's nothing like a sinner who says something biblical and then you tell them, you know, God's word says that almost verbatim. What? Because of the philosophies of men and the ideas and cool sayings out there, they just think that they came up with that. I say, you didn't come up with that. Yeah, let me text you this verse here real quick. Yes, sir.
You know, this morning in the sermon, you made a point.
It wasn't in the last 2-3 minutes. I know I was kind of 15 minutes over.
I don't put that on the effort. You made me lose my train of thought.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you said I made a point. What point did I make?
Well, I'm trying to remember what the point we were just talking about.
He's three pop five.
Being amongst sinners.
Huh?
Being amongst sinners.
No, just right after that.
Sorry, Royce. It won't happen again. I'm sorry. I'll shut up when you talk. Yes, ma'am.
Treat them like they're the vile vermin of the earth either. We can't approach them because they have lived a life in sin, some of them, most of them, by ignorance, because they had parents that didn't teach them, and they had lifestyles that they didn't even know about that they had to, they could have made a different choice. But here comes the Christian, and they teach them like they treat them like they're the scum of the earth. And a lot of the young people I come across, their comment to me about religion is, I have been hurt the most by religious people. I don't want to hear about Christianity because Christians are the most judgmental of these people I've ever met. And I, of course, we have to do something about that. And the response is, we cannot treat the souls of men as if they are not worth saving or helping.
My response to that, and then I'll let Peyton say something. My response to what Evelyn said is, and I quote, follow me and I'll show you what Christianity really looks like. Come to 9th and Main and you'll see what Christianity looks like. Sometimes denominationalism is our friend because they've messed it up so much. They ought to be able to come to where it's done right and they see something what? Different. Thank y'all for messing it up. Here, come over here. We'll show you what it looks like. We can prove that with the Bible. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. That's the wisdom of God in action. We should never go to the opposite end of what God's word says by playing the false humble role by saying, well, we're all in this together. No, we're not. There's a difference between the Lord's church and denominationalism. And Ninth and Main ought to be looked at differently than denominationalism. Peyton. Yes. Do yourself a favor and look at, you have your hand up, do yourself a favor and look at Jesus' encounters with non-believers. And you'll be, I don't see how you can say, I follow Jesus, but I don't spend no time with sinners. None? None. No. No, you follow Jesus, you can't help but come across one. You can't help but talk to one. You can't help but talk to one. Brian.
Yeah, so the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 that he becomes all things to all men. He might by some means save them. Now, that doesn't mean sinning. 1 Peter 4:4, this is just to add some Bible to what we're talking about. 1 Peter 4:4 says that we don't run with sinners to the excessive right or the
right.
Excessiveness of sin, dissipation of sin.
That's right.
But they think it's strange that you don't go that far.
That's right.
You're going to exit left stage when the drinking and the partying starts, you know, but you're going to be encountered with these individuals in the world. And, you know, I like your point. I mean, sometimes we need to recognize that denominationalism has helped us out if we know the truth, because we can show the clarity of it all. Yeah.
By no stretch of the imagination, and let me go on record and be absolutely clear with you, that I'm saying that the child of God is finding himself in a bar.
Right.
Don't even go there. Where we are going is that we go to work, we go to the store, we frequent events and things of that nature where we are allowed to go. We ought to be an example. And we ought to be intentional. Like, I'm going to go here. Why? I know there's sinners there. Brethren, that should be our intent. Why? We're trying to balance this world out. You want a good work environment with sinners that are cussing and fussing all the time? Go there and say, hey, let me see how I can help them. And in 6 months, we'll see what change is. Man, this guy ain't even cussing as much as he used to. Now, why you stop cussing so much? Man, because every time I turn around, you turn and don't cuss around me. Right. It's okay to tell people don't cuss around you. Colt. Colt had, Colt, oh, you remember it?
Very quickly, I'm
not wrong. Hold on, Colt. Go ahead, Colt.
What somebody say, realize that's right in the Bible.
Yeah.
What you said this morning, we're talking about the wisdom.
Yes.
Where it comes from. Not all earthly wisdom is necessary to evil.
That's right.
But you know what? The part that is good came from where?
God.
Even though they don't understand it themselves, their philosophy of life or whatever, they don't understand where it's coming from God.
That's right.
That's where it still came from. Otherwise, it is evil. It is sensual. It is demonic.
That's right. Great point. That's what you wanted to...
No, I'm good now. I'm
okay. Colt.
I was just going to say, this week I've been studying Jonah, and it goes over most of this. It goes over rebellion, discipline, dealing with wicked people.
That's right. That's good. Eric.
I was going to say, when we become his workmanship, we're supposed to have the attitude of saving souls. And
excellent point.
When I look back from where I come from, I've been through a lot, but it also makes me feel like that it's not about me no more, so I'm going to save somebody else's soul.
That's right.
And I used to be an anesthesia tech, so I used to save lives, but when I lost that because I wore my feet out and then my eyesight was weary, and then I just like, well, I'm going to use my retirement to buy church clothes, and I'm going to be a church.
Yep.
A church man, a godly man.
That's right. Jamie.
We
Hold on real quick, Brother Larry. Jamie, then Larry. Yes, Brother Larry.
Well, the thing, we've talked about the importance of parents, but the importance of Bible teaching and classes that we have has not been talked about, and I think how important that was with my children when they were going to Bible class every Sunday morning, and the people that teach those classes. I praise you folks for whoever is doing that teaching, because they are imparting a knowledge that maybe we don't think about, but how important that is for us to raise our children and allow them to be in these classes where all this stuff really taking place.
That's an excellent point to end on. Appreciate that, Brother Larry, because the wisdom of God must be taught here at the local level in hopes that we believe it, trust it, and go out and do it. And then invite other people to come and be part of it. We have had a great amount of visitors here in the last, it's hard to put a date on it, numbers, time. And we just need to continue to invite people and let them make a decision whether or not they want to obey the Lord or not. Frida, did you have your hand up? You just going like that? Okay.